Welcome, everyone, to Ladies Number One Detective Agency, Clearing the Paranormal. I am your host, Amy Clark, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Janet Graham. Bill Johnston, our other co-host, is unable to join us today. This episode is Season 2, Episode 8, Joshua Tree Park, Part 2, The Grid. And this one will air on October 16th, 2025. Janet, how are you doing today?
Great.
Fabulous. Despite all this crazy October energy.
Despite everything, I have been able to remain calm and just go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Good.
That's the only thing we could do is go with the flow.
Exactly. And just go, what is happening? Move on. We shared the Joshua Tree Park story in Season 1, Episode 20. So for our listeners, if you want to go back and get the background of the story, you can go back to that episode. This is a really fascinating story about one of my clients' connection to Joshua Tree Park and our clearing. So the clearing that Bill and I did, just of a section of the park that was highly affecting her. And Janet, you played a really big role in unraveling the clues in this story and helped us connect all the dots. I don't know if
I did.
Yes, you did. I know.
You have to remind me, okay? That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
I do remember some things, but I don't remember, like, you have to remind me, and then it'll all come back.
It'll all come out. That's okay. And it was Helena, our client, mutual.
Okay,
client.
That's where all that activity is.
Yes.
All the stuff that's going on there. Yeah. Okay.
So in order to tell this part of the story, Joshua Tree Park story, we have invited Holy Fire Reiki Master Megan Beller to join us. And Megan did the crystal grid work to help heal the energies of the section of that part of the Joshua Tree Park that Bill and I had actually cleared. So before we get into all those details about it, I just want to welcome Megan to our show and thank you so much for agreeing to be with us. Hello, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Megan Belair. I am a Reiki master. These titles are kind of new to me. I realized over the years that I am a grid keeper. And I work closely with crystals in that process. And I don't know how I pick up on these things. I just get on the land or I just get a notion or a nudge. This needs to be fixed. But this time you guys had come to me. I had no idea this was going on.
It was a big surprise. Yes.
It sure was. But exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to test the abilities or the what are the gifts that I'm getting?
That everybody has?
Yes and no, right? Like strengthening some and realizing what some are at the same time. And they're all different, right? It's to learn how to maneuver and to like move between. Yeah. It's been a hard journey actually with that. But anyways, the crystal grid was exciting. I do still have the grid now. I had to go back through all of my notes and just see what happened, but I don't know if you guys.
Oh yes, I do have a picture of that too. I'm going to talk about that part of the picture as well. So just a little bit of background, I guess, on this story. I had asked Janet, after Bill and I had done the clearing, if a grid would be beneficial, because I just kept getting that a grid would be helpful, because sure, we did the clearing, but this is like, we're in Canada, this is down in the States, you know, how can we keep that energy clear because of all the activity that was going on down there and all the damage that had been done to the land, which some of that damage we didn't find out about till after. So I think that's really the confirmation for some of the things that we did there, because we can't go there. Well, I guess we could someday, maybe we will, but we do this work, but how do we get the feedback on, you know, actually what happened? So, and I said to Janet, well, you know, since we can't actually be there, we can't get to that location. And you said to me, well, you can just do it energetically. I went, oh, yes. And immediately I thought of Megan. She's our crystal grid worker. She would be the right person. So I reached out to Megan and asked her if she'd be willing to take on the project. And she said, yes. I mean, how much fun is that? You get to do.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Crystal this grid.
Was the first one that I had done like virtually or astrally. Is that what the word would be?
Yeah. Because maybe we can pause here before we go into the story, because it's, I suddenly remembered that you had actually in your community had actually done some crystal grids in the community. Mm-hmm. Was that before or after the metagamy grid that you did?
I think it was before.
The first one I did was of Mattawa here. That was
right
before. Yeah. And that was like just an urge get out of. There was actually a funny story to that too.
Go ahead.
I was at my friend's babysitting the kids. So just like a house, no cell service, no nothing out in the country, babysitting two kids. And I just got this strong notion, I have to 12D right now. So I went outside onto the patio and I was doing my 12D. And when I come back in, one of the little girls had drawn a picture. And at the So she had drawn like a map with little crystals or something around the property, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, this is exactly what I had just seen in my head was a grid of the town of Mattawa or encompassing the town of Mattawa. Because I would have been like 12Ding around the community. And I'm picking up on so much has led up to this, right? Like I was getting visions as I was walking on the land in the areas, and it was of indigenous like pillaging of, or like the communities have been burned down basically.
Right.
And I was seeing before and after images in my mind, like the community before and the community of it smoking. And then just things over time had kind of weaved into this story, just confirming, you know, what had gone on in the community. So that day I just drove straight to, Crystal Cave?
Yes.
In South River or Sunridge?
No.
And picked up the crystals that same day. And then the next day the grid was laid, but every crystal that I laid had a story, and same thing with this one.
Mm-hmm.
They're all different. Yeah.
And I do remember that now that you're telling that story, I do remember it at all story. Cause I think you even showed me a picture of the drawing that the girl had done.
Yeah. And I probably do have it somewhere, and I kind of forgot that I had it until now.
Yeah. So
I would have to find it. But.
And then from there, when we worked on the metagamy project, so for our listeners, Mattawa is east of North Bay, about, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes.
From North Bay, I'm about 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a small community with, and it's right in the territory, the Algonquin territories, is it not?
It is. And it's, so the story of Mattawa, it's where the two rivers meet. So right. We meet on the Mattawa and the Ottawa River, and they would have used the Ottawa River as like a logging, and by boat. That was some other dreams too, that I've had from this area. It was ships in the river here. And then, yeah, I was going to go into another grid story after that, but it's gone now. It'll come back.
Yeah. And then after that, we got involved. We haven't done any episodes on the metagamy project. That's a really big one, but I keep promising we're going to do that. But there always seems to be something that comes up when we try to do it, but we will. That's a really fascinating story. But Bill and I did the clearing. We actually went to Metagamy and did some stuff. And then we had you work with Barb to do the grid, lay the actual crystals in Metagamy in a grid.
Yeah, so that was the thing that I was going to bring up was, so Mattawa in Algonquin means the meeting of two rivers, and Mattagami in Ojibwe means the meeting of two rivers.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Holy.
And then when I didn't know that. Mattagami, I was greeted by my two golden eagles on the sign. That was something.
Oh,
too.
The evil sign, yes.
And yeah. Then,
and then we actually had two golden eagles show up, and they were there when we went out in the canoe.
When you guys had went.
And then they were there when we came back, and then one of them flew off. So again,
ooh, I got goosebumps. That's,
I know, it was such a cool story. Can't wait to tell that one. We got to get that one done. So anyways, because you had already physically been doing laying crystals and doing the grid work. And the interesting thing is, as soon as you did those, that crystal grid, there were rainbows that showed up both in Mattawa and Mattagami that
yes,
were unexplainable, because there shouldn't have been rainbows where those rainbows showed up. And they were quite unusual.
Like during the grid in Mattawa, the first two crystals that I had placed, one being on the train tracks that connects the Quebec side with the Ontario side, and it just like piss poured rain, like thunder, lightning, all that while I was doing the 12, because I'll do my 12D at every crystal point.
Yeah.
And when I moved over to the highway coming from this time on Ontario, but it's the Temiskaming where the mill is, and coming down the highway down the river, like same thing, like I would walk from point to point A to point B, and it would be sunny, and I would get into the 12D, and it would just like piss poor thunderstorm again. So the first three points were almost like that there. And the third point was in the valley where all of the, they call it Squaw Valley. So it was like a lot of the, it was like a lot of sexual abuse, you know, in the time and the day, you know, in the history of this town.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Janet, what do you get about the, those first three crystals with the, with the rain and the thunderstorms?
Well, it feels like it is a almost, I want to call it a connection, that they're going, thank you for bringing this in, so now we can clear it out. So that's what I got, almost like, oh, thank you. And there we go.
Clearing.
That actually happened in Mattagami as well, too. So, like, the very last point that we had put down was on one of the rivers. And we, I think we even got videos of, or clouds, or pictures of the clouds. It looked like faces rolling in. And it was a quick thunderstorm show, rain, and then moved out.
Well, it's the ancestors, right? The ancestors of that land showing their appreciation and giving thanks. So that's really cool.
I love that.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I knew right away that Megan was the right person to do this job. So I asked Helena, my client, to provide us with a map of the area. And I just laughed when she emailed it to me, because most people just draw a circle around the area of the map.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, X marks the spot. They either put an X or they put a little circle. She actually drew, like, what she drew is where I got, like, the shape of
the star.
Star that had to be. Yeah. And I was laughing. I just was like, okay.
You sent me the image, and I was like, well, I don't have to really do
anything.
Yeah, I already did it for you.
It was like perfect. Anyway, so I sent that map off to Megan. Well, I should mention too, Megan is part of our Purple Planet people too, where she on that planet, wasn't she working with crystals and grids on the planet, Janet?
Constantly. Yes. Constantly.
On the planet, Janet.
On the planet, Janet. Yes, actually her main job was, she was the keeper of the crystals, and she had a crystal for everything. People would come and see her, and she'd go, okay, you need this crystal, you need that, just hold it near your heart, because she helped heal a lot of hearts.
So that makes sense. I see hearts all day, every day, in everyday life.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like collecting hearts or something. I don't know what I'm doing.
Your healing hearts, honey.
Okay, okay.
Your healing hearts. You're drawn to the people that need that little bit of healing. And just with your words, you're able to help heal them. It's almost like the crystal appears at the time the person needs to hear it.
Yeah, that's what okay. I think is going on. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it must be something about the purple planet then, because when we're rock hounding, I always find the rocks that are shaped like all the crystals, and they're all shaped like hearts. I'm going to have to give you a heart-shaped crystal. That is for sure. Anyway, so back to our story. When I contacted Megan, I told her, I might have contacted you after we did the clearing, because I didn't want, see what happens is oftentimes when we're doing these clearings, we don't know what energies or entities are there. So we try not to say too much about it, because then we get all kinds of pushback and interference, and sometimes it can be quite dramatic. And I also wanted to isolate Megan from what we were doing, so that whatever came out of her work was totally
organic. Yeah,
organic. That's the word I was looking for. So anyways, I sent it to her and the map, and I asked her to get back to me when she completed all the work, and we would share our feedback. So I think at this point, what I'm going to do, Megan, is I'll just turn this over to you. And you did the grid work on February 10th of 2023. So I'll turn it over to you, and you can share as much, if you want to share the details of the grid and what you got at each crystal when you put it in, even the types of crystals, feel free to share what you like.
So I will just walk you guys through the process and a little bit of the notes that I've taken during that time. And it might trigger some stories in between. I like to work with the rose quartz in the center. At the Crystal Cave in South River, I believe, you can get the Merkaba-shaped crystals. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I like to use as my center. And then I'll use the Lumerian sea quartz as the points of the star. And depending on what I'm feeling called to use, I usually do use the six-pointed star. But the work that we had done at Nature's Harmony, I used a 12-point star for some reason. As I was looking through my notes, and I wanted to go back on it and see why I used 12. That's a whole different story, though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So the Joshua Tree Park, actually, so around that time, I had a friend going through cancer, and his name was Joshua.
I forgot about this.
Yeah. So his mom got a tree that was a Joshua tree. And at the same time, I was going through all of this. So they had put a little bit of his ashes into this tree because they had gotten this tree as a gift at the time. And apparently that tree is like thriving now. It's like big. Anyways, I just thought it was the right thing to do at the right time. It was all just one thing after another leading into this. So what I'll start with the map. You guys were saying that she basically did the X marks the spot on the map. So what I do is I draw the six-pointed star, and I try and find the first part of the point. I like to have it pointing north or starting north.
Yeah.
There is an alignment. And a lot of it, though, is just feeling. So I don't really know, you know, the words. It's just I see it and just the way it is, intuition. So immediately I go in with the 12D shield and I give like an overall feeling of the land. And right away I was feeling unbalanced. I was feeling like it was like two opposing magnets being forced away from each other. But it was kind of like on a tilt. It wasn't on the proper axis. So it was kind of like almost like this, like push-pull, like it was not fitting. Positive, negative. So that eventually kind of straightened out, but not until the end where it actually like clicked back into place. I remember at the same time too seeing like a shell crumble away. and it's almost like clay-ish looking substance when I see it, but that has hardened, and it's almost like an eggshell, but it's thicker, and it kind of crumbles away from whatever I'm working on, and it like shook it out of stasis, basically, and it kind of started to move fluidly. And I was getting lots of pressure on the top of my head. This is at crystal one, and I have a little picture drawn here, but it's just a straight line. So I don't know what I meant by that's what the pushing felt like, but that's how I have it described in my head. Like it has no rhyme or reason. Like it just feels like a line that's being pushed down. I don't know what it is. Like, and it wasn't a natural pain. And since doing this, this grid, I've worked on other people that have had radiation done on them. So I realize now that this is radiation.
Right.
And then at the same crystal point, I had seen an aquatic being. And it was almost like an old school, like aquatic suit or a wetsuit where they're going with the big helmet. But instead of the helmet, it was this being face. It had gills here and gills here. And like, I have also another picture. Looks like a little candy wrapper, but see the little.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's like a little aquatic fish person or something.
Do you have any insights on that, Janet?
Well, it looks like a Lindor chocolate.
It does. Well, other than the fact that it looks like a chocolate.
The aquatic being at Joshua.
Okay, the aquatic being, it was actually a spirit. Okay, a spirit guide. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. So there was a connection to that spirit that's going to help that person that needed it.
Okay.
It's almost like they're the coolant to the heat.
Oh, I think you brought this up before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
This is coming.
So that was crystal two, one, right?
That was crystal one.
Okay. And that was the north. That was the north crystal.
North facing. Yeah. So I actually have them numbered. I don't know if I sent.
Yeah. I've got the numbered one here too.
Yeah. So crystal two is to the right, and I like to go counter. Is it clockwise?
Clockwise, yeah.
Clockwise. So I have written light energy. The soil feels airy, light, and dry. I could see the Merkaba reflecting from the crystal one to crystal two. And that's something that happens is when I'm connecting or moving from one crystal to the other, I can see like that plasma color light. It's almost like like the barrier. Or the grid is being built, right?
Yeah.
So very quick, usually the first couple crystals. So crystal three, very rocky or ridgy area. I seen a large crystal in the ground with rocks around it. So I was seeing like a little, it was almost like a crystal garden, but it wasn't a garden. It was like, just a hot spot. Like I would be curious to see if, you know, there is crystals in that area.
Yeah.
Crystal four, I seen dark tentacles or tar-like. And that's a lot of dark energy that comes through for me is like tentacles. And it's almost like the beings that we have. So like sometimes I'll see starfish, but they'll be black. Mm-hmm. Or I'll see, you know, like it looks like a parasite, but it'll be like robotic and it'll be black. Mm-hmm. That's how I know it's like a negative or a lower vibrational being. And then I seen like a tear or a rip. And then I seen like a starburst coming out from that tear or that rip in all directions. So it was like a burst of light particles and it was started to shimmer, like do a light show. It was rainbow or a, you know, sparkly. The rainbow I written, so maybe this is where I had seen the rainbow. Crystals, so a lot happened here at five, crystal five. And then this is the interesting part, the bubble. So I had seen like this, it was almost like a blister or a bubble, and it was in the dirt or the sand. So now that last night when I was reading back on the notes, it to me reminded me of like an atom that had exploded.
Oh, right? Wow. Or
devastation, or like, you know, when a lightning strikes sand, it kind of melts the sand that it's hitting. Right. So it would be molten for a little while. But I could see this bubble like getting, it says when focusing on the bubble, it seemed to be getting hot and swelling. Then it possibly burst. I had burst it with the white platinum light. So crystal five is in that mountain close to a spring. I don't know.
Did oh, that's crystal six. Crystal six.
Crystal five.
A tree. Oh, that was crystal five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crystal six. You had a tree spirit or some other spirit.
Yeah, tree spirit.
Yeah.
Those are very interesting too, because they've got like the face of a person, but they're made out of bark, or it's so weird to, how do you explain something that you can't physically touch and see to somebody? Yeah. Right.
Is it like Grood on, what is that?
Yeah, somewhat, but realer, right? It's realer. So then, yeah, crystal six would be the last point. And this is another thing too I'd seen in the metagamy. One of the last crystals was also a tree spirit. There was like a row of cedar trees. And as I was walking away from laying the last crystal, I turned and looked, and all of these cedar trees had faces. So this, I think, like Janet was saying, that these are the spirits of the land kind of thanking us.
Yeah.
And then the center quartz, the rose quartz, when I had started going into the 12D, I could feel, and I'm doing this from my apartment. There's no, you know, breeze. It's not outside. Mm-hmm. No wind, but I could feel right away a cold breeze and some cool air touching me or blowing over my skin. But I could see like a four pointed, almost like a plus sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it being turned, and it just goes poksh like that and locks like the four mm-hmm. points into place. And to me, I said grid has been restored, or this park restored back to the grid. I don't know if it's both.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, right. Like,
yeah,
there's only one thing I can say about it is like, you can just like, you can mm-hmm. hear it, or I can hear it snapping back into place. And then as soon as this happens, I can almost see the Merkaba. And then it's like a shield of like glittery white plasma. I can see it encompassing the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever seen that movie or the show, was it Dome or something?
No.
It came out in the early 2000s, where this bubble had, you know, encompassed this town, and they're all stuck inside the town. But that's how I see this bubble anyways. And then I get praying hands. And then they start to form like a kaleidoscope image. So it's just like, I believe that's some sort of like angelic realm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just recently messaged Janet about this, because I was working with another client and I was seeing the seraphim.
Right.
And they're like major kaleidoscope type of energy, right? So it's just like kind of just moving. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But that's my notes. That's what I can remember.
Yeah. And I think in the notes that you'd sent me, it was as if you were looking through a kaleidoscope and they were moving in a triangle motion pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the only reason I bring that up is because of what I'm going to share as we move along here. So Janet, thanks, Megan. That was really interesting. But before we move on to the next part, I just wondered, Janet, do you have anything more to share about? So what we discovered after was that there had been nuclear testing in Joshua Tree Park. And it was Don, one of our friends, he's an elder, and he had lived down in New Mexico, and he had been to Joshua Tree Park, and he had a lot, well, I don't know if he'd actually been there, but he did have lots of information about it. And so we did some research on it, and we did find out that there's a lot of mines and everything around there. But also there had been nuclear testing. And then Janet also picked up on all these other beings that were there as well.
Exactly. There was a whole bunch of beings going there and working there and collecting. Okay. But it's like what you did, it's like everything realigned.
Mm-hmm.
You got everything realigned and it's like back on track.
That's so cool. That's kind of what I got in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and now we're just going to continue to blow your socks off.
Okay.
Because, well, I think so. I guess it's up to the listener to decide how cool this is or not, but we just certainly did. So when I got Macon's email of the feedback, I was like, oh my God, Bill, like you got to hear this. And I called Janet too and told her. Because remember, we hadn't shared anything with Megan. We kept her in the dark as to what was going on. And this is the following. I'm just going to read what I sent to Megan. I said, hi, Megan. This will help to affirm what we all got is very real. We didn't share everything with my client, but what you received was so very close when I shared it with Bill this weekend. He kept saying, are you sure you didn't say anything to her? And I said, no. I feel you picked up on echoes of what got when we did the clearing and then exposed layers that had to be cleared by the crystals. So thanks again for doing this. And then the rest of what I'm going to share, I just took out some of the client related stuff because it was sensitive to the client. So this is what I shared with the client. So you can, if you're thinking of what Megan had just shared with us, you'll be able to see some pretty cool synchronicities. I love when we do these as each one is different. I get the energy, Bill gets the visuals. For the most part, as I'm getting more visuals and he's getting more energy, the energy was super strong as I would have expected. I actually felt like we were in a dome of energy. Bill and I found a YouTube video that depicted what we felt and saw, and it's called Strange Sky Phenomena over Joshua Tree Park, UFO. Yeah. I was being pushed around by the energy, but we had some very powerful beings show up on the site to help with the work. I could energetically feel them above the ground in a circle. Well, now that I think about it, an oval. Bill saw an oval, which we saw in that video, and we both experienced. So that video just kind of held up what we had seen. He saw rays coming out, like you see in the picture below. Bill said that there was no flow, but pushback, like what you would experience if you're trying to hold two magnets together, but the poles were reversed, so it repels rather than attracts.
No way.
I experienced similar energy. It was extremely intense. As we proceeded, I kept getting the word cloaked and then felt cool. Oh, I'm just getting goosebumps.
Yeah,
cool,
me too.
Energy floating up around my legs. Bill saw a sand-like vortex and beings were being pulled away by it. In it. We both felt extreme pressure around our heads. I directed him to visualize the copper pyramid over top of the area. He then saw molten black and red energy underneath the pyramid. It was sucking up stuff from underneath. Again, like a magnet, pulling up filings. At the end, we both felt very calm, very, very calm energy. I felt like it was a two-way stream, for lack of a better word, energy flowing in equally as it was going out, the good kind. I saw energy reverberating around the land to clear it. It was like a whoomp, then fast spreading. The energy at the beginning felt like radiation, and it was chaos. They, I say that in quotes, were also surprised we were there. Which is interesting, as they usually know we're coming when we create, and then they create a lot of interference and attacks at our end. Bill saw these beings being brought up in a vortex. The vortex had sand-like consistency. At the end, he saw them all lined up in a row on top of pillars like they were in stasis. I saw a dome of protection come down, which is pretty typical after we do this work. We both felt calm, flowing energy at the end.
Oh my
when
God.
I checked... Yeah, and when I checked with Janet, Spirit, she said these beings were there to clean up the mess left by humans and aliens. They were put into stasis by those who did not want them doing this. They did not want them interfering. The clearing helped to bring them back alive. They can do more work now that it has been corrected. The cloaked piece I got was that the knowledge of what was happening there has been cloaked and will start to come out. And I asked Janet if the client had had a past life there. And she said, yes, that the client had been trapped there. And the rest, I think I already had shared. Yeah. And then I shared with her your grid work stuff. So isn't that just.
That's amazing. We're amazing.
It is, isn't it?
We're all amazing.
We are amazing.
It's so cool how it all just comes together, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, I feel like an absolute nut when I'm trying to explain these things that I'm feeling, because it's a lot of times not an image, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to explain feelings that I've never felt before. Into ways that people can, but you guys understand, I don't really have to say much at all, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So some of the words that you were using during that, it was just like some of the words that I just used.
Yes.
In the material, like when I'm talking about the sand being clay and breaking away, and you guys are talking about sand and.
And we use similar language. Like you said, stasis. And when I saw that, I went, oh my God, molten? That's exactly what I got, was that they were in stasis.
Molten is the right word. And then you bring up the word molten.
And the pyramid. Okay. And it was like, I asked Bill to use the pyramid shape. Like there's a special, when we do this clearing, there's a special thing we do with the pyramid. And
so in the page before my thing here, there's a man, a local man, kind of crazy, but I like these types of people because they say some real things every once in a while.
Yes.
But look at, I'm from Bear Clan. He didn't know this.
Oh, wow.
And then check this out, guys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Pyramids.
Pyramids. Lots of them. Look at, and there's like stones and me.
He drew these pictures?
Yeah, I have the date on it.
Oh my God, it's like you come in
22.
Janet, when she came from the purple planet, she brought something with her, didn't she? Was it a crystal or a scroll?
It was a pen.
It was a pen.
Of some sort, I think.
Of some sort.
Yeah, it was like a laser pen, but it was filled with crystals, right?
Okay.
Which one?
Sounds so crazy.
She had to get everything into one thing, so she could get it out quickly and easily.
Right, because the planet.
So she incorporated everything into this one laser, and it was like a pen because it could easily fit in her pocket and nobody would realize what it was.
Right.
Okay, and so that's maybe like all of my little talents that I've been getting recently is all with like my hands, pen, and it's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're listening to your instincts. Always listen to those instincts. Yeah. They're guiding you now, and it's stronger than ever.
Well, we all have access to it now, like we never had before, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
There is no control anymore.
No.
No.
So with the, I don't know, Megan, if you listened to our episode on the purple planet, did you know that we got proof of it?
No.
You got to listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got proof of it. John Vivanco did remote viewing. I had taken that class, and after the class was done, we had a little group that he had started, and we could continue remote viewing exercises through that, and we could add our suggestions. And it's so time consuming. I just didn't have time to do it, but I said, here's one of the things I'd like to do. That was years ago. And then he was doing a show on the Psychic Spy on the Rise TV channel. And he had his episodes were called The Psychic Spy. And he did this one about the astral belts. Were they really debris or were they exploded planets? So I actually, and then I got really excited because he went into another solar system and started talking 10.3 million light years away, which is exactly what Janet had said.
Yeah.
And this planet was purplish in hue. And I just went, oh my God, it's the purple planet. And his whole description of it, you got to listen to the episode because I talked about it.
Can you send it to me?
Sure. I can send you the link.
Okay. Yeah. So I started work and I want to talk about this because it kind of intertwines and like met few people over the years since, you know, being involved with you guys where I believe I had known them from this planet because I'll get these flashbacks. So starting work at Burger World, there's a line cook. His name is Ron. Best line cook or cook that I've met up to date. And when I met him and I started talking to him, I'm like, this man is a starship captain. And I was either with him as his sidekick or I was, you know, interactions with him, you know, kind of like Trevor, where he was something like that. And I said to him one day, and he's not a non-believer, so I had to, you know, say some things with not, without sounding like an absolute nutbag. So I was like, I remember you, and you were a Starship captain. And I was like, do you remember me? And he's like, no. And I left it at that. So then a few weeks ago, he says to me, I had a dream about a planet that I was from, and I had to Google it the next day because I didn't know if it was a real place. He's like, he said it was Zeta Reticula. And so, like, a couple minutes later, I just kind of listened to what he said. I was like, what was that planet's name? Because I wanted to see if he'd say the same thing. And he goes, Zeta Reticula. Like, he's all, he remembers. So I told him, I'm like, hey, you were, like, either we were fighting these wars together in this ship together, or we worked together, or, you know. And the one girl that I work with as well, she reminds me of this robotic lady that would have been, like, boop, weep, boop, weep, pum. Pushing buttons on this ship? Yeah. I don't know. Am I crazy?
Well, actually, you were the right-hand man.
Eh?
He was the captain, but you were, like, he drove the ship, but you were the next one that could take over everything. So, okay. You know.
So that's what's going on, like, here at Burger World. Assistant
captain?
Yeah. Or the step-in. That's what's going on here. So I'm learning from him. And like a lot of people, it's taken them like 6+ years to get where I am at. And I've done it in a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm his right hand man now, basically. And yeah, we're like, when we work together, it's like fluid. It's like, I know what he's thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. Like,
there's a rhythm.
It's a rhythm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And this time is all about bringing people together. Like, whether connecting people.
Yeah.
And then helping those memories come out, right?
That's what it is. I feel like planting, or those seeds, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of know what you can say to who and when and what. And
you know Barb's from the Bear Clan, right?
Yeah. And her sister.
if you put that picture up again, that was the guy that in town that drew that?
Yeah.
Is it in Mattagami or in Mattawa?
No, in Mattawa. There's something going on here on this land where these homeless people kind of go into these, like, it's almost like a psychosis, but it's like shamanism psychosis of some sorts, because they start telling me things about the land. They start doing these things with the land, and they start drawing me pictures, or like the one man came to me and he just like was uttering this stuff. And within the same week, I had heard the phrase diamond in the rough, or the rose amongst the thorns. Like, it was like just freaky stuff these people say and do. Like, this man here says that he went to the Three Crosses. We have a hill here that you can climb, and it's about 20 minutes, but it's hard. He says when he got to the top of the hill, he looked at the sun and this light hit him in the forehead and it knocked him on his back. So,
wow.
I don't know if he's, like, he's on drugs, but
yeah. But you know? put your other picture up with the one that had the pyramids and stuff on it. So how many pyramids are there? There's 3 pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like a spaceship in the background.
Yeah, or like a planet.
A planet?
With other planets in the solar system?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, like now I can see it. Yeah.
Like Saturn or something. But
oh, and look at, he's got the 3 crosses up there.
Yeah, it's 4 pyramids.
I think the 3 crosses, okay, point upwards to where the direction of those planets are.
Ooh.
Oh, that could be, that would be interesting to take a reading of.
A church here on this beautiful hill, and it is facing the 3 crosses, and it's got like this granite slab in front of it, and I'm like, this has got to be, there's also a Mary statue. There's an alignment of some sort.
Yeah.
And one of the men that I work with here at the Moon Next Door brought me some crystals from, is it Tamagami? And they end up being amethyst. So it was like a 3-pointed amethyst crystal. And I might actually have it. But he says to me, it reminded me of the church here in Mattawa. So I was like, that crystal has got to be planted in front of this church, Lorny. Just like this crazy woman here.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, one of my clients was a psychiatrist, and she said, oh, look at that. That's beautiful.
It's the crystal.
That one looks like it came from Thunder Bay.
Yes. Oh, that's Thunder gorgeous. Bay, sorry.
Is it that's hematite it on the top?
I'm not sure. Mm. I don't know how to get.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Is it just look oxidized? See, it's got 3-4 points on it.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
It's gorgeous.
That's beautiful.
And then the church here is something to look at if you want to do a quick Google, because it's pretty cool, the point on it. It's not a traditional church.
Yeah, I've seen the church. So, and all those churches, if we realize that all those churches were built on ley lines, like what mm-hmm. you could do is, and I don't know where it is, and if you take a look at your grid that you set, look at where the church is and the three crosses are. And if you get a chance, go up to the three crosses. And you know that app that you can see the constellations and everything?
Yeah, I have that. Okay.
Yeah, so just check it out and see what the constellations and everything are.
I totally should. That's a good idea. I have all of the maps here. Hmm. I'd have to look at it another day.
I know this is totally off topic, but since we're here chatting about otherworldly things, whatever happened with the statue?
Statue.
The one that was... The wooden one.
I tried to message him and deleted it quickly after. Just, I feel like after we did all of what we did, nothing else needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I do, and it's been back on my mind the last couple of days, where I just want to reach out to him and put a grid on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do have a few friends that are pilots in the area, and they've been going over the area, and it's just freaky. So I think there just needs to be a grid there one day.
So what's happening? So just a bit of backstory. So there was a wooden totem, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. That was created and carved by, he was German, wasn't he?
The guy? Yeah, was it German? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was in North Bay at the Dion Quintuplet.
The Quintuplet's house. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been moved around a little bit. Anyway, someone decided to... What's that?
I was going to say, I remember being, like, fascinated with that statue because I lived in the set, like, down south, and we would come north on holidays and to visit family. And every time I would drive by that statue, I was just like, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It always caught my eye.
Yeah. And you know which one we're talking about, Janet, right? It was right at Seymour and the highway. Do you remember that?
No. I've only been here for 9 years.
Oh, it's been, yeah, they just took it down when did they take it down? They took it down when they built that service station, right? Or did they move it? Did it
they get- had moved it before, I think, they even moved the house. And that was a long time ago now, eh?
Yeah. Anyway, so we just saw something in the paper where they had taken it and put it at Samuel de Champlain Park, which is a park outside of town on the way to Mattawa. And interestingly enough, they did a ceremony on June 20th, 21st. And the next day, a tornado ripped right through and ripped the whole park apart.
And just the park.
Yeah, and just the park.
Just the park.
And the devastation, you can see it from the highway. It's just unbelievable. So then Megan reached out because she was getting some interesting insights.
I thought it was because of the land. The land was upset at something for some reason. But I had learned from working at the moon here in Mattawa on Voyager days that from a mutual friend that there had been a ceremony on the land on, was it not Indigenous Day?
Yeah, it was.
And the solstice. So very powerful energy day. And they're doing a tobacco ceremony and they were laying the statue to rest from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then Janet had informed me or us afterwards that it was the statue that had been upset that it had been laid to rest.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very freaky.
Mm-hmm.
So not like yes and no, it's the land, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's out of balance now because of that. And that's not the first time that land had been hit with a storm like this before. And that's what made me think that there is something going on that land prior to this statue being moved there, which is why I wanted, or I kind of reached out to Ame about this.
Yeah. Then, well, we did a, Bill and I did a special clearing there, but it's not the first time we had to do a clearing, not at that particular place. But if you recall, a while back in Mattawa, some people had come in and used some black magic and opened portals and did some other stuff there. And then Bill and I went in after the fact and did a big clearing there. There's some people who had come in from out of town. I don't know if you recall that, Megan.
I do, because I was getting a lot of activity in my apartment at the time because I'm close to the river.
Yeah.
And remember I had sent you a photo? I'm like, I think there's something here on the river. Because it was just like a whirlpool or something on the river at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're dealing with sacred ground, right? So, Janet,
yes.
As far as Mattawa, I know we're getting way off topic from Joshua J. Martin.
Yeah. Was that before or after my grid, though?
Yes, it is.
Before or after the grid? Because maybe, I can't remember if that was before or after the grid. And I want to say that was before the grid happened.
It was before the grid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what do you think, Janet, about...
I think there's a lot of spirits that are not happy with what's going on, and it needs to be
recalibrated.
Thank you. The word doesn't want to come out of my mouth.
That's okay.
But it just like I keep feeling like there's so much sorrow, and it needs to be cleared, and set free. But really, need a lot of rose quartz in there.
And it's love.
Well, there's rose quartz all over the place around Mattawa.
Bring us together, right? Yeah. Song I just heard.
Are you singing that song? Are we singing? We haven't sung in a long time.
That's true.
But that's what I get. Like in this area, when I'm walking around, I can feel parts of the land that are feminine wounded, and I can feel parts of the land where it's masculine wounding. And a lot of it is masculine wounding here for some reason. And I feel it just needs some love put back into it. Yeah,
it does.
And then there's all that rose quartz around there. So I know someone told me where to find some of it, but we haven't gone there to check it out. We haven't been able to have any fun lately. So no rock hounding. What's that?
I said same, girl. No fun.
Yeah. Anyways, from Joshua Tree Park to Mattawa. And also we talked a little bit about metagamy, and that's going to be such a cool story. I can't wait till we can get Barb online and share that story. But that was fascinating. It was fascinating because of the grid work you did. You did an amazing job, and the feedback we got just tied right into what we got. And we have no way to prove any of this, but
we have each other.
We have each other. And I mean, we got what we got. And, you know, there's no way to really confirm it, but how can...
Okay, I need to ask a question here, okay?
Yeah.
If you go take a line, go from Joshua Tree Park to Mattawa, what angle is that on and what does it face?
Oh, you know, we could...
I would believe it would be like a... Would it be 45 degrees?
I don't know. Let me see. What'd I do with my phone? Hang on. Great thing about Google Maps, right? Or Google Earth. Are you looking it up, Megan?
I'm going to try.
Okay. Sometimes I cannot get there from here. Okay. I guess that is our answer. And it was a very specific part of the park, too.
Yeah.
So how do we find out the angle?
Yeah.
Because it's like complete opposite ends of the country.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There was another thing, too, and it's completely off topic.
You're fading away there, Megan. We lost you for a second.
Clearings after I had gotten back from Mexico.
Sorry, say that again. You froze. Would you say that?
When I went to, there was another thing too that had happened while I was, I went to Mexico 2 years ago now. But when I got back, I listened to one of Lisa Renee's clearings, and I can't remember which one now. I think it was, Lumerian Atlantean clearing or something along those lines. And in there, I guess they were doing a lot of clearing in Mexico close to where I was. And when I went to Mexico, I brought two crystals with me. One I put on the land that I was staying at. And then the second one, I had no idea what I was going to do with it, but something was like, carry it in your pocket. You'll know, you know, just the way spirit works. And we went to the Zapotec ruins up in Oaxaca City, or close to Oaxaca City. And one of the temples there end up having a female priestess, and it was the female's temple. And I just immediately, I was like, this is the place for this crystal. But it was really cool because something had come up in that clearing where it was in Mexico. There was like a box or some sort of, it was actually a rift in the land that had opened up during the clearing that Lisa Renee was doing. And it let out like millions of black hearts, millions and millions. She's talking it through. And it's just black hearts coming out. And I was like, maybe that is the work that I'm doing, is recovering some of these hearts. Oh, right.
Could be.
Could be. Yeah.
Because like I said earlier, like I see hearts like all day, every day, like on my Instagram, this is where I document this. So it's like every heart, not every heart, because I see so many of them, but I'll take a picture and it's just like abnormal.
Yeah.
You guys see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
how cool is that?
It's like, it's all tying together. So
it is.
And it documentation, is. Like I'm documenting.
So, Megan, I forgot to ask you this before we started, but if somebody wanted to have you do a grid for their location, how can they get a hold of you? Do you want me just to put it in the episode notes, or do you want to share on the video? What do you prefer? Or on the audio? What do you prefer?
So you can definitely put it in the information on the, however you're going to post or advertise. But it's just my first and last name, MEGANBELLAIRE@gmail.com. And you can find me on all media, Megan
Social
Blair.
Media? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Miss Megs. I also do a lot of art too.
Okay. All yeah. right.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Janet sees what I do. I call myself.
I do. I love it.
That's great. All right. So I guess that's the end of our episode. Thank you very much, ladies. And thank you to our listeners. And I hope you all have a fabulous day or night, wherever you are. Janet, did you have anything you want to say before we sign off?
I just like everybody to learn how to listen to their gut. What does their gut tell them? Listen, listen, follow that instinct.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you everyone for listening, and have yourself a fabulous, like I said, day or night, wherever you are. Take care.